It looks a little unbalanced, doesn't it? It needs some more people over there. Not good. All good? Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll declare the meeting open. I hope you're all well. Attendance, apologies, leave of absence. I'll take Councillor Odorizio, maybe an apology. She may be just running late. She's not joining us for the start of the meeting. Any leave of absence?
Myself. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks, Councillor Rolls.
Sorry. For the next meeting, I'm actually going to be at Government House at Hobart.
Very good. Councillor Rolls is asking for a leave of absence for the May, for the dates.
28th, is it?
8th of May. Till, is there any dates till the council meeting? Is it the 28th, is it?
It's the 28th, isn't it?
28th. Just for that day, Councillor Rolls?
Yeah, just for that, yep. The next main meeting.
The main meeting.
Yeah.
Anyone would like to move that we accept Councillor Rolls's leave of absence? Move Councillor Vitale. Councillor Bartle has seconded that. All those in favour of Councillor Rolls' absence from the next meeting? That's been carried, thanks Councillor Rolls, for the 26th of May. The 26th of May it is, just to clear that up, is the May Council meeting. Any other leave of absence requests?
Yes, from May the 5th through to May the 15th, I'll be out of the country. Won't affect a council meeting, but maybe a briefing.
That's fine. Someone like to move that we accept Councillor Mason's leave of absence from the 5th of May to the 15th of May. Councillor Bartle's moved. Seconder. Councillor Vitale. Afternoon, that's fine. Councillor Odorizio's joined the meeting. Councillor Bartle has seconded Councillor Mason's leave of absence from the 5th of May to the 15th of May. Any questions on that? No? All those in favour of that leave of absence? Yep. Everyone's in agreement. That leave of absence is carried. Any others? No. Move on to item 3, which is response to previous public questions taken on notice. There's nil. Petitions approved, deputations and submissions is nil. Confirmation of the minutes of the 24th of March 2026 Ordinary Council meeting. The recommendation is that the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 24th of March 2026 be confirmed as it being a true and correct record of proceedings. Would someone like to move those minutes be adopted, please? Councillor Odorizio, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Mason. Questions on those minutes? Comments? Okay, we'll straight through. All those in favour of those minutes? The minutes are carried. The announcements I'd like to make in today, firstly, I would like to congratulate again our corporate staff on another best practice recognition in local government. These things are held in high esteem through they get presented at state government for all to see, and it's a lovely commendation of what a great job our corporate staff do. So congratulations on that. This is the third time inside 4 years, and I believe we were robbed in the fourth year. I still think on a technicality that was not good. But anyway, congratulations again on a job well done, and certainly for our ratepayers, knowing that our funds are well calculated and well managed. I'm not saying we've got a lot of funds, but they're certainly looked after. So thank you, directors and managers. The other thing I'd like to bring your attention today, councillors, is that item 16.2, which was a confidential item, I'd like to move that out of being a confidential item and shift that up into the Custom and Development Services part of the agenda today. That is item 16.2. We'll bring that up and it'll change its number to item 11.2.2 in the agenda, if that makes sense.
Just a quick question. Why would it have been classed as confidential?
No, not sure.
Yeah.
I think it was
that was a question I was going to ask anyway, but yeah, okay.
No, I think it was just a, not entirely sure. It was to do perhaps about not identifying people in part of it, but it's not, no other real reason outside of that. No. So with that, that change in the agenda, can I ask someone to move the 2 points of this motion? Actually, I'll move the motion that item 16.2 goes up to become 11.2.2 in the agenda, and that the appendices that mention that any appendices are privileged regarding this item, due to the nature that there is addresses and bits and pieces in those appendices. So basically, I've moved that motion to change that agenda. Would someone like to second that? Yep, Councillor Scott seconded. Anyone question about that? No. All those in favour of that change? A change in that motion's carried. Thank you. The moving on to any announcements by members. Not today. Thank you. Do we have any disclosure of interest in today's agenda? Nope. Item 10 is external committees and associations and advisory groups. None in today. 11 reports for the Chief Executive Officer and Officers Infrastructure Services. 11.1.1 is the road maintenance agreement between the Shire of Arena and Peel Resource Recovery Proprietary Limited. The recommendation is that Council 1 agrees to enter into a road maintenance contribution agreement with Peel Resources Proprietary Limited as per Appendix 11.1.1 for the road user to pay annual contributions of funds for the purpose of maintenance, repair and upgrade of the affected roads outlined for the additional freight occurred for the extractive facility located at Lot 1, 480 Johnson Road, Wagerup. 2, authorises the application of the Shire of Arena Common Seal to the Road Maintenance Contribution Agreement. And 3, authorises the Shire President and CEO to sign and execute all matters relating to the Road Maintenance Contribution Agreement. Someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Scott, seconder. Councillor Mason. Questions or comments, councillors? Certainly. I did have one clarification, knowing what Peel Resource Recovery is their main, one of their main businesses is actually resource recovery. Now, I understand this at this point in time, this is for sand extraction only. How does council get around the fact that these trucks are going to be loaded on the way back in and loaded on the way out? How do we capture that, or do we? And not saying that they've put in that application, I'm just saying generally one of the issues with waste is that the roads are loaded the whole time, and I'm not sure how we capture that evenly.
Through the chair, this is a... it's a bit of a tricky one because the actual pit's in the Shire of Harvey.
Yes.
But it is a sand extraction pit only. There's no approval from the Harvey Shire for any resource recovery to happen on the site. If it were to change in the future, the maintenance contribution would be revisited.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's my understanding it's only sand only, so only haulage coming out, and it should be empty trucks going in.
So the question is, how do we know that? If that's a DA to the Harvey Shire, how do we alert it to that change in use?
The Harvey Shire is obligated to refer to local governments when it's like this. They did need a DA through us for the actual access way through land zone and the Shire of Arena planning scheme. So we'd pick that up again. It would change the nature of the use fundamentally if they were to have waste going in, and therefore would be able to pick up the development application ourselves as well for the access. Then we'd have a new road agreement drawn up to get more contribution.
Okay, do have access, that's good. Thank you. Any other questions on this matter? No, move Councillor Scott, seconded Councillor Mason. All those in favour of this recommendation, that recommendation's carried. Thank you. Now, we need to go to 11.2.2. No, not yet. This is the not the confidential one yet. No, sorry, 11.2.1. Sorry for that. This is development services. 11.2.1 is the amendment to the local planning policy 18, expenditure of cash in lieu for clearing offsets. The recommendation is that Council 1 initiates the amendment to local planning policy 18, expenditure of cash in lieu for clearing offsets, as presented in Appendix 11.2.1, for the purposes of public consultation. And 2, request the CEO to advertise the amended local planning policy 18 in accordance with Clause 4, Schedule 2 of the Planning and Development Local Planning Schemes Regulations 2015. Someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Mason. Seconder. Councillor Vitale. Thank you. Questions or comments? No. Anyone else? No. We'll move straight through to moving that recommendation. All those in favour of that recommendation? Recommendations carry. Now, councillors. We move to 11.2.2, which is the It's not on the screen, is it? Oh, it is. Thank you. It is the application of the common seal and notification on certificate of title under Section 70A of the Transfer of Land Act 1893. And the recommendation is that Council 1 approves the execution of the Transfer of Land Act 1893 form as presented in the Appendix 16.2. 2, authorises the application of the Shire and a Common Seal to the Transfer of the Land form 1893 form and authorises the Shire President and the CEO to sign and execute all documents to take all actions necessary to give effect of this resolution. Do we need to change the recommendation to add that the... No.
Through the chair, as long as the attachment states that it's confidential.
Oh. Okay. Would someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Mason, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Bartle. Questions or comments on this item? Councillor Vitale.
Just a question, really. I know that street or the properties along that street previously weren't able to subdivide. So what's changed to allow the subdivision, and is it likely to impact the other properties along that street?
Yep, good questions, Councillor Vitale. I think I'll throw that to their Manager of Planning Services.
Yeah, in my view, Councillor Vitale, nothing's changed. I've assessed this application using our local planning framework, which stipulates a 7,000 square metre minimum lot size. So the Shire's recommendation to the Department of Planning was to approve. Very similar situation to Ray Vagoni's block, same zoning, 7,000 square metre minimum. So I'm not sure what's happened in the past, but since I've come back, there hasn't been too many applications on this road, and I don't remember giving too much advice out to buyers of land on this road. So, I've just used our framework and assessed it and recommended both for approval, and the Commission has done so as well.
Yeah, and just to follow up, I suppose, previously it was around the sewerage, provision of sewerage for that area. So I know there are quite a lot of properties along there probably 10, 15 years ago that wanted to subdivide but couldn't. So are we able to put out there that that is an option now? Because I think quite a lot of the landowners along there will be quite interested once they see some of the works happening.
Yeah, that's probably the key difference. I think over the past couple of years, the WAPC has relaxed a little bit on on-site sewer versus reticulated sewer. As long as proponents can prove that they can comfortably fit an on-site sewer on-site, which is pretty easy with 7,000 square metres, and provided they've got the right soil type for sewer as well. So, it seems to me that they've relaxed a bit on their view, because there was another subdivision towards the Shire Depot there that had even smaller lots again with no requirement to connect the sewer. And the Commission pushed it through. So I get the feeling they have relaxed their line a little bit on on-site sewer in country towns.
Thank you. Just another question. I think going back in time, part of the reason the Shire didn't support some of those ones, they may have been smaller than 7,000, was the progression of the town going north. I mean, eventually growing north and cutting those blocks into a portion that weren't subdividable again. Perhaps was a sticky point with the planning commission, but as I say, that may have changed.
Yeah, it all came about with a country sewers policy that Department of Health and the WAPC did together. But that then got brought into another sort of state policy that encompassed that. So, but from a Shire point of view and from a planning point of view, sometimes requiring the reticulated sewer can make it cost prohibitive, and we end up with no development. So some of these land areas are sort of landlocked, I guess, because of the sewer so far away. From a planning point of view, I think that this is a good position from the Commission, especially in Waroona, where we have very good separation from groundwater, which makes on-site sewer systems much more environmentally sustainable, I guess.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions on this item 12.2.2?
I suppose I've only got one question, just on the part of access points, that there's not going to be any problems for any other properties. I haven't seen the plans to this, so that's just one thing I've come across in the past, that people get blocked off their access points from subdivisions.
Through the chair, all access points, if future subdivisions happen along Patterson Road, we'll just assess them on their merits. This particular one for the proponent, the access was fine. They did a sort of a battle axe alignment where no one's access on neighbouring properties is impeded or anything like that. So we'll just continue to assess access on its merits, and if there's issues, we can either ask them to change or recommend a refusal. We certainly won't recommend anything that impedes access in the area.
Thanks, Councillor Rolls.
That's good.
No other questions on this item? The item's been moved by Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Vitale. All those in favour of the recommendation? Recommendation's carried. Apologies, Councillor. It was remiss of me not to recognise Acting Director Ricky Pulfer joining the meeting today. Sorry, Ricky. I apologise for not noting you earlier in the meeting, but thank you for joining us today, and thank you for the role that you're currently doing at the moment, amongst many others.
Add to that, Mike. I just think it's another example of, the current Shire model of sort of bringing people up from that are local and invested, and we're having some great successes out of it. So I really appreciate it, and congratulations to Ricky personally.
Thank you, Ricky. Moving on to item 11.3.1, the listing of payments for the month of March 2026 as presented. The officer's recommendation is that Council receives the following payments made through the month of March 2026. Someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Mason, thank you. Seconder? Councillor Drizio. Any questions on those payments? Nope. All those in favour of that recommendation? The recommendation's carried. 11.3.2 is the statement of financial activity for the period ending 31st of March 2026. And so we go. Thank you, H. I have to read all these. So the recommendation is that Council 1 receives the statement of financial activity for the period ending 31st of March 2026 as per Appendix 11.3.2 and 2 amends the 25-26 adopted budget as below. Account 3255 for the amount of $95,647 is the reduced income account for roads to recovery funding allocation, which we missed out on. Account 3184R57, the amount of $27,700 for the reduced expenditure for Panorama Drive roads to recovery funding allocation. 3184RR60, $7,677, reduced expenditure for Fitzpatrick Place roads to recovery funding allocation. 3184RR61, $38,602, reduced expenditure for Palmerston Street roads to recovery funding allocation. 3184 is amount $4,149. Is to reduce expenditure for Waltham Court roads to roads fund roads to recovery funding allocation. 3184 is for the amount of $9,204. Is to reduce expenditure for DeHamel Street roads to recovery. 3184RR56 $2,550 is to reduce expenditure for Armstrong Hills Drive roads to recovery. And 3184RR63 $5,765 is to reduce expenditure for McClarty Lyons roads to recovery. Someone like to move that recommendation? Thanks, Councillor Vitale. The seconder, Councillor Rizzio. Any questions on that? Why that's come about? It was a decrease in funding allocation that's caused that. But I'm assuming that those projects will be picked up in the next budget. It'll be our first cab off the rank. Maybe. No. Acting Director Belairs.
Yes. Through the Chair, those projects were actually completed under budget. There was just one project, which was the Panorama Drive, that isn't going ahead due to a land issue.
Okay.
But the rest were completed under budget.
Yeah, I was looking at those. I thought some had.
Also, through the Chair, the roads to recovery funding is a five-year agreement. So where the funding has reduced for this financial year, it will still continue within the other financial year. Okay. So over the 5 years, we still get the same amount. It's just the allocation for this year is less, which means the following years will be more.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks for that. It didn't actually say that much in the report. I was trying to glean it out of there, but, yeah, it's more about... Well, good. Any other questions on that? Councillor Vitale's move, Councillor Odorizio seconded. All those in favour of the recommendation? The recommendation's carried. Mm-hmm. 11.3.3 is the Corporate Business Plan, the Quarterly Progress Report from January to March 2026. The recommendation is that Council receives the Corporate Business Plan, the Quarterly Progress Report from January to March 2026 as per Appendix 11.3.3. Would someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Vitale, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Mason. Questions on the corporate business plan? All ticking along as expected. No questions on that. I'll move through to moving that recommendation. All those in favour of the officer recommendation, accept that. Yep, all good. I saw Councillor Rolls blink.
Yep.
She blinked. I heard that. 11.3.4, Purchase Orders Authority, FP004, Corporate Purchasing and Credit Card Policy Amendments. The recommendation there is that Council approves the amendments to Council Policy FP003, Purchase Orders Authority, and FP004, Corporate Purchasing and Credit Cards, as per Appendices 11.3.4. A and 11.3.4B, respectively. Someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Scott's moved. Seconder. Councillor Odorizio. Raise your hand, went up. Sorry, Councillor Rolls, did you say something?
No, I just put my hand up. That's
you
all.
Did, thank you. I could see that. All good. Any questions on this item? No? With that, all those in favour of that recommendation? Recommendation's carried. Get through it. 11.4.1, the Shire of Aroona Bushfire Risk Management Plan 2026-28. And the recommendations that Council 1 endorses the draft Shire of Aroona Bushfire Risk Management Plan 2026-2028 as per Appendix 11.4.1A and refers the draft Shire of Aroona Bushfire Risk Management Plan 2026-2028 to the Office of Bushfire Risk Management for final adoption. Someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Bartle, did you second that, Councillor Rolls?
Yes.
Thank you. Thought so. Any questions on that item? This is an important piece of work. Without it, we don't get any bushfire funding, risk mitigation. So, thanks for all the work that's gone on. There wasn't too much input into it from the brigades by the look of it, only from DFES, but we'll work on this one for the next couple of years. With that, Councillor Bartle has moved. Councillor Rolls has seconded it. All those in favour of that recommendation? Recommendation's carried. 11.4.2 is the Walga Climate Change Advocacy Position Contribution. Councillors, the recommendation is that Council resolves to support Advocacy Position 1 or 2 of this report and requests the CEO to advise the West Australian Local Government Association of its position. I'll ask someone to move this recommendation and open it up for debate. At this stage, we're only supporting either item one or two, or we may have our own position to formulate. But someone like to move to start up debate? Councillor Vitale. Seconder. Councillor Mason. Sorry, Councillor Scott. Councillor Vitale, would you like to open debate?
Probably start with a question more than anything. Is this advocacy position one, that's word for word the same as what the Peel Zone's just endorsed and supported?
Effectively.
Yep.
It has.
With the second position statement, and thank the CEO for putting it together, what was the main intention of having that alternate one?
Just a change on the wording of the policy of the first one.
Yeah.
Just to play on that. One of the things I could just talk to that it's taken a little while to sort of get to this point inside the Walga. Look, it is just a position. It's a policy position, so it's probably not going to change the world too much, but. There has been some press over this a little bit and a little bit of angst as far as some smaller councils feel that the impost perhaps of embracing some of the wording around it was that local government embraces climate change and actions in eliminating climate change, and their concern perhaps was in those instances that it become legislated that local governments needed to spend X amount on climate change adaptation that they didn't have was potentially challenging for small councils with limited budget. Part of was also asking for the state and federal government to help prop up some of those if that was what was required, funding to do some of those mitigating actions. I'm not sure where it's going to land. The position that was adopted at the Peel Zone basically will go back to state council, and I dare say that'll perhaps by the end of state council meeting it'll be changed again, potentially. But it is hard. There is also another faction of councils that think that policy statement doesn't go hard enough. It hasn't got enough weight behind it. So trying to find a balance in between 100 and all the councils we've got, 40-odd councils, of limited, you know, some with huge amounts of funding. That we all, I think, given largely given, I think local government does do a good job in doing what it can with the budgets it has, and I think we're all working towards doing what we can. I'm sure that you know, some of the actions around solar panel and some, you know, electric cars and people, some of the staff riding to work on push bikes that's about to be adopted, that also help change the, eliminate some of the carbon emissions. But the CEO has sort of drafted up considered a different advocacy position that's up for council. I understand Councillor Vitale that was the one that was adopted by Walga, the zone last week. Anyone else? Councillor Mason?
I think regardless of either advocacy position that we pick up on, it's not going to change a great deal. I think the main thing is that we put quite emphatically that we're going to require state and federal funding on it. So I think that's the actual key to it. And there will be wildly varying positions from all the councils depending on where they're situated. That's a given. Yeah. I don't mind either, particularly your second one. I don't need an education on carbon or whatever. I think you could probably take out a couple of those if it was, you know, if it was undermined. But the fact is that this will have very little effect. We're going to throw a stone in a pond and the ripples are going to dissipate before they hit the edge.
Yep. Thanks, Councillor Mason. Any other comments on this? Councillor Scott.
Well, I acknowledge that the CEO's put a fair bit of work into the advocacy position number two, and I think should respect that.
It isn't, it aligns with the one. It's just probably a little bit more background to it.
Mm.
Councillor Rolls?
Yeah, I agree with the one that the CEO has put together. He's put some time into it. He seems to get those other little things that gets missed.
Yeah.
The reason too for this is this council endorsed feedback goes back to Walga and then it'll go to state council in May. They just requested it was a council endorsed feedback, not just, you know, councils writing in or staff writing in. It had to be a council decision. So. Mm. Councillor Scott, you have sort of shown some favour in advocacy position too.
Oh, definitely.
Yep. Councillor Vitale. Councillor Odorizio. Councillor Barcel. Councillor Rolls, are you in favour of one or two?
Two.
Two. Councillor Mason.
I think it might
be different. Yep. Understood. Okay. Well, with that, councillors, the Councillor Vitale's moved the recommendation that the support advocacy position one or two, being that we support advocacy position two. Councillor Scott seconded that, and that the CEO sends that advice to that recommendation the council endorsed to Walga. So all those in favour of that, recommendations carried. Well, good. 11.5.1 is the Local Government Professionals WA Finance Professionals Conference. This is for noting, but thank you for doing this report up. The recommendation is that Council notes information on the 2026 Local Government Finance Professionals WA Annual Finance Professionals Conference, attended by the Director and the Manager. Very good. Someone like to move that we note the information. Thanks, Councillor Vitale. Seconder. Councillor Scott, any questions or comments? No. All those in favour of noting that? It's carried. Thank you. Item 12 is business left over from a previous meeting is nil. Elected members' motions of which previous notice has been given is nil. Do I have any notice of motions for consideration at the following meeting? Take that as nil. Is there any new business of an urgent nature? No, not at this one. So with that, can I ask that someone move that we take this council meeting into, it's closed to the public, and we move behind closed doors to discuss a confidential item recommendation. Thank you, Councillor Bartle. Have a seconder. Councillor Adrizio. Meeting's closed. Do we need to go? Item 16.1, the confidential item regarding the Chief Executive Officer's contract matter, the recommendations that Council notes the request provided in the report. Welcome back. And I'll declare the meeting closed.